Hey everyone, welcome. It's great to see you all. I'm Nick, a PM in the Skype Bots team. And this is Krishnan, one of our lead engineers.
Hello.
And we're here to talk to you about how to build a bot for Skype. So I hope this is going to be a good session. You should come out of it with everything you need to know about how to go and build a bot for Skype today. So Skype connects millions and millions of users every single day across chat, across voice, across video, at home, with loved ones, and in the workplace between teammates, across a multitude of different devices. And so hopefully you heard in Satya's keynote today about the shift to conversations as a platform. And Skype is really where conversations come to life for Microsoft. You would have seen examples of ordering food, finding a restaurant, booking a hotel room, right through to we showed a demo of a new live interactive video bot in Skype today. And we're looking at bots which can increase business productivity, educate people in new ways, interface people with the Internet of Things, right through to connecting users with a whole range of different services. The possibilities really are endless, and it just comes down to the types of applications that you're building and how you want to build a conversational interface on top of those. So in this session, I'll give you an overview of Skype Bots and what we've launched today. Krishnan is going to take you through a worked example of a bot, right from start to finish, how to build a bot. Then I'll tell you how to sign up, so you and people in your teams can go and build a bot. And then we'll open up for a few questions at the end. So firstly, Skype Bots. So today we've launched updates to all of our major clients across desktop and mobile, which gives users the ability to add a bot in Skype, which looks very similar to a regular Skype contact. Users can interact with them with text, with emoticons, with picture and video messages. We're also releasing, just to developers, not available to consumers yet, the ability for bots to interact with groups, which opens up a whole range of really interesting possibilities about group interactions with a bot. And also calling, the ability for a bot to receive a call from a user. So when you get access, you'll be able to try some of these new features. We'll be releasing very regular updates to the platform. We have a number of things in the pipeline, and if you sign up, you'll be the first to know about them. And I wanted to mention three really key ones. So first, rich conversation cards. So be that a weather card, or a picture gallery, or a chooser card. These are ways that, with your bot, you can create a much more visual experience within the conversation flow. Secondly, built-in conversational understanding. So you should have seen in other sessions today information about Microsoft's cognitive services and how using the same tech on which Cortana is built and on which other intelligent Bing services are built, you can detect the entities within a conversation and the intents, map those directly to the actions which your application performs, and create a really human-like conversational experience with your bot. And we'll be building that right into the Skype bot platform, so it's super easy to use. And finally, our real-time video platform, which drives the video bots, of which you've seen one today. We're working with partners to test the video platform, and we'll be releasing that in due course. Thank you. So just at a high level, and Krishnan's going to go into more detail, there are three steps to build a bot. Firstly, register. So you come to the portal, our portal, give your bot an identity, a name, a description, a picture, get an ID, which is what you use when developing your bot. Then you need to develop, so build and test it with a small group of users, and then publish so that you can reach a larger audience. So when you come and register, you'll see simple form to give your bot a name. It's just like a Skype display name you'd see in Skype today, a picture and a description. We use Microsoft account for Auth, so you need to get a Microsoft application ID, which is how you authenticate your bot. We generate your bot ID, which is what you use as the reference for your bot whenever you're building it. And then build and test. Christian's going to go into a lot more detail, but you can develop directly against REST APIs, or we're initially making available a Node.js and C# SDK. And we have several quick start tutorials, so you can just come and deploy one of those quick starts very quickly to, say, Azure, and get started building your bot that way, and then test your bot in a live Skype client with a limited number of users. And finally, when you become ready to distribute your bot to a large audience, we want to help you get it out there as widely as possible. Somewhere in the portal where you can generate an Add to Skype button. So you can just add that button to your website or application. When users tap that, they'll launch a Skype client directly into the conversation with the bot. In the Skype clients that we released today, we've also introduced a discovery interface where users can just find and add bots directly within the Skype client. Bing have also launched a bot index. So you can go to Bing, you can search for Skype bots, and you can see bots there. And you can, when you tap on a bot, again, it will add it directly into Skype so you can start a conversation. And coming soon, as Cortana presented earlier in the day, about how they are providing extensibility portal, where you can go and register intents and actions so that Cortana can launch out into apps and services. In the same way, Cortana will be able to launch out directly into bots based on the context of the conversation which is going on in Cortana. Okay. So now I'll hand over to Christian, who is going to take you through how to build a bot for real.
Hello, everyone. My name is Krishnan. I'm super happy to be here to walk you through the steps involved in building a bot on Skype. Me, as a developer, personally find it very helpful to understand the high-level architecture of the system before I dive down to the code. So that's what I'm going to start off with. So here, I'm going to walk you through the steps involved in a user sending a message to a bot and the bot replying back with a message. So here on this slide, you see four entities. First is the Skype user, which is shown as a mobile device here. That's just to illustrate that a user can be on any device that runs Skype, be it a desktop client or be a mobile client. Then we have the Skype bot platform, which does the work of handling all the bots in the system. The third part, which is shown as a cloud, is your bot. So that's where the core business logic for your bot resides in. It's a service that you manage. You have full flexibility of running it in a cloud of your choice. And again, as I mentioned, that's where the brains behind your bot resides. The last entity on the right is the Microsoft Account Service, which is essentially the OAuth provider, which helps you, you as your bot, authenticate itself with the Skype bot platform. So let's take the first scenario where a user sends an instant message or a chat message to a bot. So the first step is from a device, the user sends a message. The target or the to of the message is targeted at the bot. The Skype bot platform now looks up the metadata about the bot. This includes some information such as the messaging webhook. So that is a webhook that you configure as part of the registration of the bot. A few things to note here are that the webhooks that we expose are essentially secure webhooks, as in we only support HTTPS. This is to ensure that the message between the Skype bot platform and your bot is transmitted securely. So that pretty much concludes the flow of a message from your Skype client all the way to the Skype bot. Nick?
Bear with me.
Technical glitch.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So now, in response to the message that your bot receives, your bot can run its core workflow. So in this case, if it's something like a simple bot, like an Echo bot, it might just choose to respond back to the user. But your bot could be smart where it talks to other partner services, or it could do stuff like talking to other Internet of Things devices. For instance, one of the directors in our team has built home automation over this framework, where he can basically look at the status of all lights in his house from his Skype client And instead of going down and switching it off, he can just send a chat message to his bot, which in turn switches off the light. So it essentially opens up a wide range of possibilities. So now let's look at the reverse flow, which is a bot sending back a message back to the user. So the first thing that your bot needs to do is to get an an authentication token. So it does this by presenting its app ID and secret to the Microsoft account OAuth provider, which in turn returns a token. A thing to a main aspect to note here is that this is the standard client credentials OAuth flow, so there's nothing new here. So now your bot gets the token, and next thing it does is it invokes an API on the Skype bot platform. So that's just illustrated here. Again, the thing to note is that the endpoint on the Skype bot platform is a HTTPS URL. And another key aspect to note is a sample that I've shown here is that the APIs that we expose are simple REST-based APIs. And the body of the message, again, is a simple JSON-based structure. What this means to us as developers is that your bot can be written in a language of your choice. You're not limited to using either C# or Node.js. You can use any language starting from PHP or whatever you're comfortable with. To get you started really quick as part of the bot platform portal, which we'll come to later, we have provided samples in both C# and Node.js. Again, this is just a convenience mechanism to get you started soon. So now the Skype bot platform basically authenticates this message. It does this by validating the token that you put as an authorization header. And assuming everything looks good, it takes care of distributing this message to all the endpoints of the user. So in essence, this slide talks about a flow of a message from a user to a bot and from the bot back to the user. So this one talks about the calling aspects of a bot. So in this case, we are going to look at a bot which can support the calling functionality. So again, let me just walk you through the high-level call flow. So we have a Skype client, the Skype bot platform, and again, your bot, which is again a cloud service. The first step is the user places a call. And in this case, again, the call is targeted at your bot, which is identified by the bot ID that you get as part of your registration. In this case, the Skype bot platform again looks at the data for your bot and it finds out the calling webhook. So as part of your registration, you have an option of providing a messaging webhook and a calling webhook. This is just a convenience for you to kind of distinguish the controllers that you have for these two workloads. So as part of the calling workflow or the calling webhook, we again give some basic information such as who's the caller and who the callee, which in this case is your bot. The difference now between the messaging workflow and the calling workflow is that your bot now returns a workflow. To better understand what this workflow means, let's put it in the context of a concrete example. Let's say your bot is a very simple hello world bot, as in if you as a user calls your bot just answers the call, plays a simple message, let's say hello world in this case, and then hangs up your call. In this case, your bot would return an action, which is answer, which is an indication to the Skype bot platform that the bot wants to answer the call. An alternate action, if your bot just wants to hang up the call, is a hang up action, in which case the call would just be hung up. So now the Skype bot platform executes this action on behalf of your bot. So in this case, the bot is not aware of all the media intricacies. All that it's operating it with is the basic workflow that is core to its business logic. Now the Skype bot platform executes this action on behalf of this bot. In this case, it's going to answer the call. And then it's going to call back into your bot using a callback URL that you return as part of the original workflow. And the result of your action, which is was the answer successful? Was the answer a failure? For instance, the user might have hung up his call before we were able to answer the call. So the results of these are returned back to your bot. Now your bot, in response to this result, can return the next set of workflows that you wanted to execute. So in the case of our Hello World bot, the action that would be returned here would be the play prompt action. And you have an option of either providing a text that the Skype bot platform uses text-to-speech and conveys it into audio, or you have an option of returning back a WAV file, which might be a hello world. So that's pretty much an iterative process, as in the Skype bot platform executes the workflow, returns back the result, And then in response to those results, you can return back the next workflow. So this allows you to build really rich, interactive voice response kind of apps using just a simple web service, and you can make it available to the entire Skype user base. So this is the high-level overview of a bot that supports the calling modality. So since this is a working session, I'm going to be building what we call as an MOT bot. So here is a screenshot of a bot from a real client. So here in this bot, I upload a picture. In this case, it's a picture of a colleague of mine, Anand, who was really angry. So MOT bot essentially detects the emotion. It pretty much detects the strongest emotion on the image and returns back an appropriate emoticon. It's a simple bot, but it helps illustrate some of the very key concepts, as in it talks about how flexible the system is and how easily you can build a bot that integrates with multiple systems. So that's the working example that we're going to go through. Can you go to the next slide, please? So again, since I'm a big fan of architecture, let's look at how the MOT bot's architecture looks like. So I have omitted certain aspects of it, such as the Skype client and the Microsoft authentication provider. Those are the same as what we had discussed in the messaging call flow. So let's assume that a user sends a picture or an attachment to a bot. So the message comes to the Skype bot platform, which in turn invokes the messaging webhook. The messaging webhook has different categories of events. So in this case, the event is going to indicate that it's an image that is being received. So MOT bot now downloads the actual bytes for the image. I'm not showing in this, but in essence, at the end of this flow, MOT bot has the actual content of the image. The next step is the bot calls into the Microsoft Cognitive Services that you heard Satya talk about in the keynote. So it has a service for emotion detection. So we call out into the Microsoft Cognitive Services API with the image. This in turn returns back a gradient or a score for each of the prominent emotions in the image. So Nick. So MOT bot now pretty much finds the most prominent image based on the highest score value that it has. It then translates this back into an appropriate emoticon and sends this back as an IM to the Skype bot platform, which in turn sends it back to all your Skype clients. So this is a key bot, or this is a simple bot, but it illustrates how easy it is to integrate a bot with a completely different third-party system, like in this case, it's Microsoft Cognitive Services. But it pretty much gives you the entire flexibility of integrating your bot and making it as interesting or intelligent as you want it to be. So let's go into the basic steps of building a bot. Once you sign up today, Nick will talk about how you go and get access to the portal. You get access to this portal, which is the developer.microsoft.com/enus-skype-bots. So this is a landing page for you to build all your bots. It also contains a wealth of information, including tutorials. It has extensive reference of the REST APIs that we expose in the Skype bot platform. And that is something that you can use to write your bot in a language of your choice. It also contains two SDKs, as I mentioned. Again, this is just provided to get you started. One is in C# and one is in Node.js. We also have a community tab, if you can see here. We have a community tab, which is for the Skype bot community. So the idea is that the entire product team is listening actively for your feedback, and we really encourage you to kind of give us your feedback in the community, and we are looking to use your feedback to make the whole offering better. And that's the community is also a great forum for you to ask questions and leverage the resources of other folks who might be building bots along with you. If you see here, there is a tab called My Bots. So that's the kind of the key page where you manage the lifecycle of all your bots. So you can see here, I've already created an MOT bot. The status is published, which indicates that the bot has been validated by Skype. It has not yet been shown in the bot directory. So you see an option here for you to add it to the Skype bot directory. And you also see a delete button here by which you can actually delete your bot. So essentially, this becomes the one-stop shop for you to manage the lifecycle of all the bots that you create on the Skype bot platform. So the first thing that you need to do as part of your bot creation process is to register a bot. So you do this by tapping on the create new bot. So this brings up a simple page. I'll walk you through each of these fields. So the first one is the name of the bot. Think of it as what the bot is known as when you see it in the profile. Like users, we as users have a display name. Think of this as the display name of the bot. So in this case, I'm just going to call it EmotiBot. As you can see, I've done this a few times, so I autofill it. The next part is the description. This is a place where you have an opportunity to put meaningful text that will enable the users of your bot to get more information about the bot. For instance, if they see a bot on the Bing search results and they want to know more about what this bot is capable of, this is a place where you can put some information. Similarly, when users see the bot in their directory, this is a place where you can see, this is something that they can see in the profile of the bot. So I'm going to put something, my second EmotiBot, because that's really what it is. The third and last piece of information that you need in order to complete the profile of the bot is a bot profile picture. This is essentially an image that you see in the bot. So I've created an image here. I'm just going to browse to it. And that, those are just the three pieces of information that you need to complete the profile of the bot. The next section is the Microsoft Application ID. This is for the OAuth flow that we had looked at in the earlier slides. So this is an application ID that you get from apps.dev.microsoft.com. And if you see here, there is a hyperlink underneath it. So if you don't remember that URL, you can just click it here. And you automatically get redirected to apps.dev.microsoft.com. And you're automatically signed in with your MSA. So I've opened the tab here. So I have two applications here. The first one is EmotiBot, and the other one is EmotiBot 2. And this portal allows you to manage the credentials or the app secret for your application ID. So you can, if you feel that the credentials have been compromised, you can just come here and regenerate the credentials, and you don't have to do anything about the credentials on the Skype bot portal. So I'm just going to use the app ID that I've created for EmotiBot 2, just jumping back to the portal. So that's just the app ID. So that's the only piece of information that you need from an authentication point of view. The next section defines the capabilities of the bot. This is where you indicate what the bot is capable of. Is my bot something that can just accept one-on-one IMs, as in a user can send a bot an IM in just a one-to-a-bot conversation? Or can my bot be a part of a group conversation? So in this case, I want my EmotiBot to be both a part of a one-to-a-bot conversation and a group conversation. The way these capabilities translate to a user-facing activity is that based on these capabilities, the appropriate UI elements on the clients get enabled or disabled. For instance, if I have a chat-only bot, the calling button gets disabled because it does not make sense for me to enable the calling button because the bot is not capable of handling calls. So that's where these capabilities come. The last thing that I need is the messaging webhook. So I've already created a website here. So this is just a simple Azure website. And in this case, since I'm using the sample that I downloaded from the portal, that's why the route has v1/echo, because I'm essentially taking an echo bot and modifying that. So those were the only pieces of information that I need in order to register the bot. Since my bot is not going to be working on calling, I'm leaving this unchecked. So now I'm going to hit save the bot. Now what this does is it provisions the bot on the Skype bot platform system, and the bot should be ready to go in a couple of minutes. Now you come to this slide or this page here. The key piece of information, as Nick pointed out, is the bot ID. I don't need it at this stage, but I'm just going to copy it because I need it for the next stage where I actually develop the backend code for the bot. Some of the key aspects to note here are you see a link here. It's a join link. Now, that's a link that you can click on to add the bot to your Skype client. It's also the link that you can share with your buddies if you want to test the bot out with them. So you just have to share this link with them, and they can click on this link and have the bot get added to their Skype clients. So that's a great way for you to kind of test this bot along with your friends or co-developers and get the quality up before submitting it for publish. So I'm just going to click this link here. And as you can see here, I'm already signed in, so it's not prompting me for my Skype credentials. This is the URL, or this is the page that anybody who clicks on this link would see. As you can see here, it has the display name of the bot. It has the profile picture that we had uploaded. It has the brief description and an information about the capabilities. And it also has an add to contacts button. So I'm just going to click it here. And since, again, because I have been authenticated already, it's not prompting me for my credentials. So you can see here, it just launched my Skype client. Actually, I was signed into my Skype client. And if you just saw, MOTBot is now there in my contact list. So just to give you a perspective of the simplicity, we got a simple bot registered and all ready to go from your client in a matter of just 2 to 3 minutes. So this is how simple it is for you to create a bot on Skype and get it ready. And at this point, I don't even have the backend service ready. I've just got the infrastructure in place for me to test the bot. At this point, anybody can click on this link and this bot gets added to their contact list. So that pretty much completes the first phase, which is the registering of the bot phase. So now let's look at how the logic for a bot looks like. So this one is a simple Echo bot sample that I downloaded from the portal. I've made a few modifications, and I'm just going to walk you through what modifications I did. So the first thing that you notice here is the bot ID. So this is the bot ID that we saw in the previous page. So I'm just going to replace that here. The next is the OAuth application ID. And this is just a convenience mechanism because our SDK automatically gets the token for you. And so that way, you don't have to worry about refreshing the token or getting the token when it expires. So I've already pre-filled here. And this one is the application secret. Again, if you go to apps.dev.microsoft.com, this is the secret that you get here. So these were the only three changes that I needed to do for the configuration part of it. The next file is the web API config. So the portions here, I'm just going to zoom it up a little bit. Okay. So the portions that I've commented here are the portions that you get as part of the sample. As you can see here, what it does is it basically hooks on to two of the event handlers that are exposed by a bot service, which is a helper class that we have created to abstract away the REST interfaces. So the on personal chat message received event handler gets invoked when your bot receives an IM from a user in a one to a bot setting. So since this was an Echo bot, all that it does is it essentially replies back with the same content that was received. The next event handler that the Echo service bot hooked onto was the on contact added event. So this event gets raised when a user adds a contact or adds your bot to his or her contact list. So this event handler is a great place for you to give an introductory message or welcome the user to your bot and give him some information on what your bot does. So again, I've commented out these because we want to make this bot a little bit more sophisticated. So I have a class here known as the bot processor, which is the core logic behind my bot. So that's something we'll look at next. You'll notice that there's also another class called emotion detector. So that's just a class that I wrote to abstract away the details of the calls to the Microsoft cognitive services. So I'm not going to go into the details of that because that one is pretty much just a REST API call and you get back a response. So it's just a parser around that. So this is the core logic behind the MOTBot. So in the constructor, if you see here, I hook on to a couple of different events. So I'll just talk about some of the different events that we expose. But here, I've just hooked on to 4 of these events. The bot gets notified when a user adds the bot to his or her contact list. It gets notified when a user removes your bot from his or her contact list. That might be something that you can use to gauge user engagement, or if you want to drive metrics on how many users might have removed your bot. Then there are 2 events handler or events which are raised when a bot receives an IM in a one-on-one setting, which is I start a chat with a bot and send an IM, or when a user sends an IM to a bot, which is a part of a group chat. So in this case, for both these, I'm just having the same event handler. We'll look into the details of all these. Then there's one event handler that gets, or event that gets raised when a bot receives an attachment. So in this case, I've hooked it on to the on attachment received async method. So MOT bot, that's the core of the MOT bot. So let's go into the details of each of these. The first is the on contact added event. So this is an event which gets raised when a user adds a contact. So in this case, I just want to tell him or her about the bot. So I'm just saying hi and greeting the user. And then I'm just giving a brief help message, which is send me an image and I'll return back an emoticon. So that's what the bot does. Now, the on personal chat received event handler is when the bot receives an IM. In this case, I'm not really processing the IMs of the user. So in this case, I'm just looking for the content help. If the user asks for help, I'm just returning back a help message. This is, again, just to showcase what you can do with this event handler. The interesting part of this bot is the on attachment received. So this gets invoked when a bot receives an attachment from a user, again, either in a one-on-one setting or a group setting. So the first thing that I do here is I call the get attachment async method on the bot service. What this does underneath the covers is calls the appropriate REST API on the Skype bot platform, which in turn returns the actual bytes of the attachment. The next thing I do is I call the emotion detectors get emotion method, which is a method that I have written. And that basically calls into the Microsoft Cognitive Services, which in turn returns a bunch of emotions. And it then finds the emotion with the highest score. The next thing I do is, based on the emotion, I just return back an appropriate emoticon. And that's pretty much the end of my whole bot. So the key aspect to note here is, besides the emotion detector class, the core code that was involved in building this emoti bot was probably 50 or 60 lines. And I can build this bot and get it running on Azure, which provides free quota up to a certain amount. So I can get a bot up and running in under 15 minutes, and you can make a pretty interesting bot out of it. So given this, let's see the bot in action. So I have a bot here. So I uploaded a picture of one of my colleagues who's happy, so it returned an emoticon appropriately. So I'm going to add an emotion of Farooq. He's again a director. He seemed really angry. So it's going to take a while. And as you can see, it does indeed return an image that's appropriate to his thing. And this also kind of showcases that the latency is pretty close. I mean, it's actually pretty negligible in the sense I sent an IM, the bot received an IM in Azure. It called into the Microsoft Cognitive Services and then translated it back into an emoticon. So the latency is also pretty good here, or in fact, pretty low here. So that's just the working example of a bot. And now I'm going to hand it back to Nick, who's going to tell you how to get access to our awesome Skype bot platform.
Thanks, Christian. That was awesome. All right, so that should be everything you need to get going yourself. So go to skype.com/developer, and there'll be a sign-up form there. Sign up. We'll get you access to the portal as soon as we can. We already have 20 bots created today from people who signed up earlier, so there's people already developing on the platform. We'd also like to invite you to join us for a hackathon. The first one's going to be in Palo Alto in May. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll have people from the Skype bots team there. They'll be on hand to help you create a really compelling bot for your service and showcase some of the new features that I talked about, which you can build into your bot. On the portal, as Christian said, we have a community. We'd love to hear from you on the community, because this is just the start. We're building a whole set of really interesting features which are going to enable this paradigm shift to conversations in Skype. And it's such an exciting time for us to be opening up what's been a product for a decade now into a platform which can really empower you to reach out to your users. So come and come onto the community and give us your feedback and ideas. If you get stuck at any point, just go to bothelp@microsoft.com. If you have any problems signing up, just go to bothelp. And Christian and I will be around here afterwards. We'd love to get questions from you, hear ideas, see what you would like to see in the platform. I can try and listen to questions from the floor. Yep. Great. great question. So the question was, what's the difference between the Microsoft Bot Framework, which got talked about today, and the Skype Bot Platform? And we work super closely with the Microsoft Bot Framework team. So the short answer is, if you want to build a bot for Skype and use some of the features which are exposed in Skype, like visual cards, which are coming, like calling and later video, then the Skype Bot Platform is the place to come. If you already have a bot, which you've developed on another channel, say for Slack, then the Microsoft Bot Framework's a great place to come and easily port your bot and ship it through the Skype channel. Exactly, yes. Exactly, so the Microsoft Bot Framework already wraps the Skype set of APIs, which we showed today. Yep. Skype for Business, so another great question. So not today, we're not making any announcements about Skype for Business today, but what I would say is we're architecting the platform in a way that, yes, our vision is that you'll be able to come and build a bot once, which would work across both our consumer and business services.
Nick, I think there are questions here.
Yes. What's that? Email and time zone. So another great question. So so today, what you get access to is just the display name. What we'll be enabling is a permissions type model that you would see with an application with other applications, where if the user allows your bot to have access to your profile information, then yes, of course, you'll get it. So things like your locale, time zone, language, for example, and that enables you to use some of our other language services to provide a global bot.
And these are the kinds of feedback that we're really looking forward to. So I would encourage you to just also bring it up in the community. So it's great. Thanks.
Yep. Just repeat your question.
No, I didn't get the question.
Okay. So today,
all right, we'll follow up afterwards.
Sure.
It was a question about calling, and yeah, for calling, the only way it works right now is that a user can call a bot, not vice versa. So it doesn't expose anything in terms of a bot being able to call a user.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, do you want to say
so that? I think the question here was, if I wanted to build a bot that basically hooks onto a third-party system, how do you pass your credentials all the way from your Skype client on that? That's something that we don't have today, but that's something that we are looking to add over the coming months. Thanks.
Right, perfect. Well, thanks, everyone. We'll be around here afterwards. So if you have any other questions, please come and find us. Thank you.